They're pushing on the outside right there.
Working that second outside lane, they draw the long side. William Byron and Lowski Byron fight it out for four. But it's Jake Skelton.
Count it down.
Cut.
That was bad. Anyway, all right. Welcome back, boys. Episode 14, Left is Right Pod. Doing it a little bit differently this week. We've got Matt and Brent there on camera together.
Yes.
Strange, which is strange to begin with. So, hello, boys. How are you?
We are well. We're going to cheers real quick. Cheers for the fans. And bottoms up, boys. And yeah, so Brent and I were talking, and Rachel wanted me out of the house. So she threw me out. And I'm like, I'm going to hang out with Brent. And I'm like, well, and we're talking. And Brent's like, I haven't watched the NASCAR race with anybody else since Talladega.
In 2008.
I was going to say, that's approaching 2 years.
Yeah. It was well due. So we had the truck race on a little bit before. And, you know, just get into it and noticing different things. And it was awesome having someone to experience TV with for a change.
Good. So we've also got returning guests by virtue of save phone number dial, Mr. Drew Messina. What's up, buddy?
Oh, boys. Three-time recurring guest. I don't know why I deserve this honor, but, yeah, it truly is an honor, got to say.
We love having you on. We weren't planning on having you on, so thank you for scheduling time for us.
It's all good. I mean, my phone's going to die in probably like 5 to 10 minutes anyway, so it'll just be a quickie, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So Brent, you're quiet there, bud.
He just drank that.
Co-host there stealing all your camera time.
might need to get a refill here before we get into our topics tonight, you know, which I know we're going to talk about the our friends over at Rick Ware Racing.
Yes.
And then Nashville being, you know, the first time Cup Series has gone here and the first time anything NASCAR has gone here in about 10 years. Adam, do you have anything else to add to our discussion?
Oh, and you wanted to talk about your boy Larson.
I got some information about Larson that I want to get some opinion on here. Let you guys talk about him in some way based on what I'm going to say. I'm curious about Nashville. I don't know a ton about it. I know it's a pretty cool place as far from the track perspective, but I don't know if you guys have any information about it at all that you can share. It's a little over a mile long, but we'll get into that then. From a Rick Ware perspective, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen, you know, one is Cody Ware not running this week, and I think that's what that screenshot from Bob Pockers was earlier, right? Was that is it the 51 car?
51, yeah.
51 car is allegedly not on track. Or to be in the bottom three, finishing the bottom three in owner points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would mean, based on the rule book that no one's allowed to see, that team's charter could potentially be pulled by NASCAR.
Yeah. Right? So we'll level set this real quick. I'm gonna pause. Keep continue your story, but just pause. So for our listening audience. So NASCAR has a certain amount of charter. And what a charter is it's a guaranteed starting position in the race, right? You're guaranteed to make the race. And about 5 years ago, is that about right, Adam? About 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a little while now. Yeah.
They gave out these charters to teams who consistently showed up and qualified, right? They gave out a standing position. So it kind of put some – some equity into the game, right? It gave these owners some equity in the sport and kind of an investment they can sell in the future, right? So from there, teams have sold, teams have leased. And Rick Ware Racing has four charters somehow.
Yep.
And what I learned about today, I didn't even know the thing, was NASCAR can actually revoke your charter if you don't finish, if you don't, you know, you're not competitive, right? And in this case, this might be the first time it's come up where Rick Ware Racing has now fallen into that category where NASCAR can actually have a discussion with them to revoke their charter. So I have some thoughts about it, but Adam, continue what you were going down. So Cody Ware's not racing. No, is that they're going to run the 51 this week?
I think there's somebody. I think there's somebody in the car. I don't know who. I'd have to pull up the lineup, which I can do here. But I think Cody is getting on board with some Indy racing. If I'm not mistaken,
Road America this weekend in an Indy car race, which
is bothering also.
I don't know how I feel about that. But
so what are your feelings about that, Brent?
I mean, from what we've seen out of that race car this year, as far as extracurricular activities with other race cars and stationary objects, I just don't feel like an open wheel car is the right move.
Now, is Rick Ware Racing competitive in the Indy Series? I don't know.
Somebody needs to call in and tell us that, because
I don't know.
Cody never responded to my tweet, by the way.
Oh, God, he had one chance. We're the only podcast calling him. I guarantee that. So far, Adam has tried to call Cody Ware. We're still working on Chastain. We're going to get him. And then we tried to sponsor an Xfinity car, too.
I did sponsor the Brandon Brown Xfinity car because he put a video out there, like straight-up used car salesman trying to sell sponsorship on his car. He literally was like dressed in a suit. It was like infomercial status, and he had a big for sale sign sticker on his hood. And I DM'd him saying I'd give him $50 to put our name on the car, but
no answer.
Oh my god, that's
so
awesome.
I'm gonna pause. Drew, you raised your hand.
JJ Yaley is running in his car, and they are it's a 2019 Chevrolet this week.
Oh. Two bottles ago. That's a used car by now. My God.
They're only got three cars in the ring this week, though. Nope, four. I'm sorry. Four. Yep, they got all four running, and they're all 2019s. They're scraping the barrel.
Nice. Real nice.
I don't know how the manufacturers let that happen.
It's all about money, man.
Maybe they're not sponsored by the manufacturer. How does that even work? I don't even know.
They might not be. So the 51 car is a petty Rick Ware alliance, actually.
It's a great alliance.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to work out too much every week, but that's okay.
It makes good Manhattans. I'm just being lazy.
There you go. Brent's got number two.
I got a little rye.
Got over here.
So, my Larson situation has to do.
Are you gonna quiz us? There's a quiz.
There's a couple things. We'll start with the race itself. Which I think you guys were watching, or Matt, you were.
I did. I caught most of it, or listened to most of it in the car.
Watch any?
No, I didn't watch any. I'm sorry.
He was out on a camper. That's
okay.
True.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, you know, Sunday night during the, you know, I didn't really get involved with it until like the fourth stage, which sounds.
Yes.
So it was stage five where I was really watching, and stage six was the last stage, which is like the 10-lap shootout, right? So
for $1 million.
So stage five, there was a requirement where they had to make a pit stop. They had to make a green flag pit stop, I believe. So there's some different strategy going on, and it started getting wild there at the end of stage five. And these tender cars, every single, you know, I mean, Bowman wasn't right there, but he was in the top 10 at that point still. And, you know, Larson's out front, Byron's there, and Chase is there. And, man, they are just all over the track. I mean, they are anywhere they want to put the car. In the middle of the turn, they want to turn high in the middle of the turn, they can turn high. If they wanted to turn low in the middle of the turn, they could turn low. And they could do it, like they didn't look like they were lifting.
With control. Yes.
With control. And I'm like, this is just insane. So they go to the they stage finishes. I think Larson won the stage. I'd have to go back and look, but that doesn't matter. And they get to the 10-lap shootout, and Keselowski's there. And he had a chance. All Keselowski needed to do was get to Larson's bumper, really, and get on that left rear inside. If he could have done that, I'm guessing he would have passed Kyle. But yeah. At the beginning of that stage, Byron and Larson were going at it. And this, it was just nuts. I mean, Byron, oh my gosh, I don't understand how those cars didn't hit the wall. They were doing the same stretch. Thing.
He was throwing block. Well, Larson was blocking, and Byron was making these moves like he was driving an open wheel car. It was insanity.
Brian, you've got to see if you can find that and watch some of that 10 lap shootout there in the situation between Byron and Larson. Like, it doesn't make sense. Something's going on. Something is going on.
I told you that.
The cars shouldn't turn like this, is what you're trying to tell me.
I don't know, you know, and I've been thinking about it, and, you know, Junior's podcast was really good again this week. He was talking with Jimmy Spencer, and
yeah, that was great.
And other people have been talking, like, the, like, Junior came out and said, he's like, if, you know, how did he phrase it? He's like, I want a crew chief who's willing to push the limits every single week. He goes, I could not tell you if every single car that I drove, it was legal. I couldn't tell you that. He goes, and I didn't want any of my cars to be legal. Like,
yeah. Yes,
and this all is like making me think about this. Like, okay, like, you know, we're getting to the end of this car, right? Like, it's not going to exist in Cup anymore at the end of this season. Is everybody just throwing their shit out?
Yeah.
What Matt?
Except for Rick Ware Racing, they're going to be still running.
Yeah. Correct. They're gonna figure out a way to run this car next year. They're gonna do it.
Right, it's fine.
Legal. But oh man, and so the thing I wanted to say, like, is it has to do with all-star race winners, right? So Larson wins, he gets $1 million, he holds the freaking dueling guns up there on in victory lane, but his hands were on the trigger.
Yeah, California boy, don't know much about that, right?
So. Oh gosh, and. So, if you look at the history going back to Terry Labonte and even a little, and back to Jeff Gordon in the T-Rex car, okay, Hendrick drivers who have won the All-Star race, you know, since back then, which is pretty much, so it's Gordon, Labonte, Jimmy, 100,000 times, and Chase last year, I think he won the All-Star race.
You did.
And now Larson. I think all but Jimmy one time, they've all won the championship in that year.
No way. I didn't realize that.
So I'm curious, at this point, right? Like, like there's no question about it. Kyle Larson is a great driver. I'm not debating that whatsoever. Okay. But the equipment is really, 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 really good. There's no question about that either. So how do we decipher? Where's the balance? What do you guys think? I don't know. Like he's also continuing to win in everything he drives in dirt, like within the last, you know, month and a half. So like, it's nuts. I don't know. I'm just curious what you guys think or where you stand at this point since the beginning of the year.
Your comment about Kyle Larson, I think without debate, he is probably one of the most gifted drivers on the track in any given weekend, without a doubt. Just from what his bandwidth from oval to road course to dirt to, I don't know, put him on a bicycle in front of the hillside. But that's I think, without a doubt, he's one of the most talented drivers we have on the racetrack any given weekend. The other Hendrick drivers, do they fall into that boat? I mean, Byron's good. Byron just let a motor loose in a truck race
today. Sure did.
Blow him up on the front straight. So, yeah, there's definitely something in the water at the Hendrick camp. I don't know. I think if they were this fast all season, I would say sure. But it was like, I don't know, what, half a dozen races ago, all of a sudden there.
Something happened.
Somebody found something.
Aside from Larson's win at Vegas, right, which was very early on, pretty early. And, Byron won, too, there in Homestead.
Yeah.
There was a stretch there where it was like, what's going on? Like, why isn't Chase won yet? Or why isn't he, you know, why isn't he stepped up? But going back to COTA, right? Chase wins a rain shortened event. And Larson has pretty much won every race since.
Mm-hmm.
Since that.
I'm with you, Brett. Larson just has unbelievable talent, right, behind the wheel. Just the kid knows what to do, right, with the pedals and the steering. What I'm concerned about is what we're alluding to is you don't get four cars in the top 10 consistently. That's not a thing. It doesn't happen in this sport.
We got, right? Top 10, top 5.
And in some cases, top 5, right? Now, what, and I hate going down. I don't like myself for thinking about it this way. Rick Hendrick was on the cusp of becoming the most winning driver of all time, right? Check the box, right? Would this be good for NASCAR? Check the box, right? Comeback story from a kid with no sponsor. Check the box. Good for NASCAR, right? I hate it. I don't like thinking that way because I don't think it's real, but man, it's the deck is stacked at this point.
You don't think they would stoop to that level?
Well, I
don't want to. As a sport, as a fan of the sport, I don't want to. Right, and that's what Spencer was getting to on Junior's podcast. Right, when he made that comment about Junior, right, back in the day, and NASCAR rigged him to win the race, and you know, be the fan favorite, and all that crap. Right, I don't think they're doing that. Now, do I think Hendrick is cheating? Do I think they found something that no one else knows about? 100%. What happened to Kevin Harvick?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Kevin Harvick? They found something on his car, right?
I believe so. Like
he's nothing, right? He's got nothing. Stuart Haas is, Stuart Haas is dried up.
Yeah,
he is Stuart Haas. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yep.
So is it bad for NASCAR to come out against the fan favorite, Chase Elliott, right? To say, oh, we found something on your car, or you're making too much horsepower, or Chad Knaus, who led Jimmy Johnson to 7 championships, all of a sudden now has influence over Ford Parking, right? And they're all doing very well, right? And we know what Knaus, not that he's got a painted history, but there was that incident with him tossing his shoulder, having the jackman toss his shoulder into the car, that little side force, right? That's documented, right? Now, is that NASCAR, and that's why we like NASCAR? 100%. that's the sport, right? Who's got the edge? And like Junior alluded to, he never wanted to drive a car that wasn't done up, right? That's what he said. And when he runs Xfinity, he said today, he goes, I want all the tricks. That's what he tells us. Yeah.
It's like, I want, yeah, that's right. I want all the tricks, you know, what did he say? He pretty much said, like, I don't care if I get suspended. And what he was like, he's like, well, it's just one race, you know, like,
what are they going to do? Kick me out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, Mike Davis was like, oh, Dale Jr. gets suspended for a month. And they were all thinking, well, that would be a good story. Thanks for the ratings, you know?
And that's a whole different story, but I don't know. It makes me think, and I don't like thinking that way. Now, when Truex is dominating in a furniture row car, do I think Cole Pearn found something? 100%. 100% he found something, right? But, you know, the man's got talent, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think most of these drivers have that talent.
Yeah, they're not bad drivers.
None of them are out there just, well, most of them aren't out there just, you know, slinging pedals in a steering wheel, right?
Right.
So it's what edge they're finding. And I think next year is going to really level set a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to reset it's going to change the equipment conversation for a short period of time, you know.
Yes.
The teams with the money, it's like anything else, like you guys know, right? Like you can ask the technician, right? You can ask the technician to do something the right way, right? You can show them how to do that. That's not that complex, right? But they will find a way to cheat the system in some way. And I don't want to call it cheat the system, but they will find a way to cut corners, right? They will find a way to do it faster, or whatever the case may be. They will figure that out all on their own. Nobody needs to show them that. It's the same thing here, right? These teams will figure it out despite the level playing field, all having to buy the parts from the same place, right? The same price, whatever the case may be. But the teams with the money, the Hendricks, the Penske's, the Gibbs, the Haas's, you know, some of these other teams, you know, I would think 23XI, some of these guys that have dollar backing, they're going to figure out a way to use that money to their advantage again.
And I don't want to see spending caps, right? Because F1 just implemented one coming forward next year. Right. Their Mercedes budget, I don't know if you know this, right, was $300 million for their racing program. And F1 had to come down and tell them, across everybody, $100 million. That's it. It's the most you can expect. I don't want to see that in NASCAR, because I don't think the cars, that spread is that far off from each other. But, you know, if it gets there, it gets there.
If it's not going to be the parts, or it's not going to be the items they're putting on the car, right? Like if that's all going to be even like they say, what are they going to spend their money on? Well, they're going to spend their money on people.
Yeah.
They're going to spend their money on buildings. They're going to spend their money on time that they invest in this stuff. They'll figure it out. They will. It's not going to be instant, but yeah, it's going to reset the driver conversation. And I'm guessing that's what's going to dominate the first couple races next year is who are these drivers, you know?
Who's driven a car with independent rear suspension?
Yeah, I was going to say that to me, other than the obvious one being the driver, it's going to be the kind of time they can spend for car setup in regards to things that they're not used to right now, like things like alignment. You know, I'm under the impression that we're going to have things like rear camber to play with now, which we didn't have before. So,
well, you could bend the axle tube.
You know,
we talked about that on Junior's podcast. Heat up the axle tube, which is insane to think. I forget how they talked about going through it and how they made the shaft lift in that environment, which blows me away.
Yeah.
They did it with the spline.
The ingenuity.
They did it with the splines. They did almost like a kind of like an extent, like a, yeah, they rounded the spline down to give it to be able to pivot. That's how they got camber.
That's crazy. No, this is a weird question. Were those rear axles full floating on NASCAR, or are they?
That's a great question.
I don't know. Anyway, but setup things that are perfectly legal, things are allowed to change, I think, like spring rates and alignment and stuff. I mean, I played around with alignment on my road course car quite a bit, and it's pretty dramatic, the changes you can make in the way the cars handle. These guys are starting from scratch on their cars, so how fast some of these teams get up to speed with tuning this car. That's going to be an interesting thing to see.
Side note, we have a friend, a mutual friend who drives Ford Plexus, who you all know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He told me yesterday that he picked up 5 miles per gallon by aligning his car.
That's a hell of a stat.
That's a lot.
That's more than that should be humanly possible.
Without a tire being sideways, I 100% agree.
Oh my god.
Incredible.
So good. Okay. So I think we're kind of all on the same page from a Larson perspective. So you were talking about Chastain earlier. He's riding Mellon truck, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So first question, Matt, did you buy the Mellon truck?
So I was telling Brent earlier. So I got on my favorite site on eBay, and I shot the guy an offer, $25, right?
Yeah.
See if he would turn me down. So I hit him with 27, turned me down again. Well, then I let the thing end, right? Let the auction end, and he reposted it, and it's still for sale. So maybe he'll come back.
Nice.
Maybe he'll come back.
Nice.
I made my the part of my brain that tells me to stop doing irrational things told me I need to buy a house here. That didn't work.
So the reason why I wanted to talk about our good friend Mellon Man was because he had two significant penalties handed down during the All-Star race. Did you hear about this?
Adam, I honestly did not. I don't know how I missed it.
Okay. This is both a truck issue and a cup issue. So both teams, okay, fielding vehicles for Ross Chastain. Competition officials fined the number 42 Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet team $25,000 and ejecting crew chief Phil Sergin and dropping Chastain to the rear of the field for the start of the All-Star race for an air duct violation found in Sunday's pre-race inspection. So he got whacked the crew chief, he got at the end of the line, and he had to pay $25,000. The team had to pay $25,000. That was for the cup race. In the truck series, the 45 Nice Motorsports Chevrolet team was disqualified Saturday after an unapproved throttle body was discovered in post-race inspection.
I love it. So, the air ducts, were they running into the tire to get the tire some air? Or were they just kind of trying to bleed off some of that pressure buildup on the nose?
Well, I'm thinking I figured out who I'm tweeting at next.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Brent said the crew chief guessing.
The crew chief, yeah. Well, we'll try Ross. I'll see if I can look up that. I'll tag them both if I can find if that person has a Twitter or not. That Phil Sergin, but
about the Ross Chastain motivational figurine with him holding the watermelon above his head. That's unbelievable. What a business opportunity.
It was an amazing opportunity. I like the seizing the moment.
Just like, God, look at that guy. He's so pumped. He's going to smash your watermelon if he wins this race. You know, an intro.
It's next level. I thought that was pretty interesting. And we're talking air duct violence. I mean, they were, you know, as we were getting into the cheating talk earlier, you know, a lot of ingenuity going on with the Ross Chastain camps on cup and truck side. So
not even the same team. It's two different teams, you know?
Right.
Throttle body. One thing you can do with a throttle body.
Make it too big.
Make it bigger.
Then I'm bored of that.
I think they're giving throttle bodies, if I'm not mistaken, in that series. So
yeah,
maybe it's just one. Maybe it's the same one. It was just not one that, I don't know, NASCAR didn't put their sticker on it or something. Who knows? You know.
Maybe they didn't tighten the bolts down, right?
let it loose
a little bit. You know, let her leak around the gasket surface.
Yeah, maybe. Probably. Well,
they probably wouldn't work, right? That's probably not a thing.
Depends how you got the cow set up.
It's true. They were. You talking about game series or the old restrictor plates? What they used to do? They had all kind of games for that. They had a plate they used to slide on.
Oh God! Wow. So. We'll get right to it then, Drew. The meat and potatoes. Because the whole discussion of Drew from day one to be on the podcast in some capacity is to give us his weather guess. So this weekend they are returning to Nashville Super Speedway, and for the first time in a long time. So what's the weather doing in Nashville this weekend?
So there's gonna be some rain and thunderstorms like to the north and south, but I'm confident I'm gonna go 100% races to go. So there you go. No beating around the bush here. So
I like it. You're actually two for two for your race forecast.
There you go. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't mess around here. So
yeah,
only providing the best forecast for your boys. So.
Oh my God. Well, so you do forecast for all those pretty Air Force buds and their fighter jets all the time, right? So those helicopters and those princesses. So yeah, NASCARs must be a walk in the park then.
Oh yeah, it's easy. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call the Army a bunch of princesses. Yeah, the Air Force can confirm, you know. But it's fun. It's a good time to do it. And you know, just looked at something real quick because like you said, Adam. I didn't know I was going to be on this podcast until probably about like 10, 15 minutes ago. So I just threw something together real quick. And that's what I pride myself on is making a decision and, you know, hopefully keep the ball rolling here this weekend.
I like a man who can commit and make choice, you know?
That's it.
And Drew, that's your biggest complaint you've always said about meteorology is the 50-50 forecast and how you don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're getting paid to do a job and, you know, you guys obviously, you know, involved in the automotive industry in some capacity and, you know, you don't, I know there's the big joke, you know, about meteorologists and stuff is, oh, you get paid to be wrong. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes that happens, but you know, I'm just going to make a call one way or the other. And I know most meteorologists and weather people probably don't like that, but hey, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm here to give the people the facts and maybe you can't call it the facts. It's early out, but, you know, either making a call one way or the other. You know, having the guts to get out, stand out on a limb and do that. I think it's something we need to work on as a whole in the industry. So,
whoa,
balls on this guy.
sounds like Drool's got the snap-on tools in the snap-on toolbox. You know what I mean?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. His instruments are calibrated.
Yeah. He ain't working off of Harbor Freight garbage.
That's
you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the magic eight ball is calibrated and the crystal ball. So yeah.
I mean, we knew you were a home run when you shot down the vortex theory about racetracks immediately and actually hit us with facts. I was blown away.
Hey, I try not to nerd out, you know. But hey, you know, when the time comes you have to step up and, you know, spread the knowledge and wealth a little bit from the fans. And that's who it's about at the end of the day. So
oh, my guy, thinking about the small people, the little man.
It's the people's camp.
Yeah. Hey, you know why are we here at the end of the day? You know why are we recording this 9:30 at night on a Friday night? You know it's all about the fans and you know making sure we drop you know knowledge on them and you know so they're ready for the weekend. So that's what it's all about.
The real reason why we're recording on Friday night is because your brother sleeps early. That's
yeah. Can confirm, always has.
So on Wednesday night, I was dead. And then I really, really screwed it up because Adam had people coming in, our friends Travis and Holly, and they were there yesterday. And I'm sure he had a late night. And today was the only night he had free to do it. So I apologize for screwing everything up again. But thanks for our fans for hanging around. And Adam, we're over 100 listens by now, aren't we?
Yeah, I just want to go back for a second there. I'm not accepting your apology. I'm just going to hold it over your head.
I wasn't expecting you to accept it. I had to toss it out there for the people. But I wasn't expecting an exception.
No, that's good. The
question again? I missed everything after I realized I wasn't going to accept that apology.
Since you were emotionally scarred from that, my question to you was, we're over 100 listens by now, right?
Let's see. Oh, well over 100, man. We're approaching. We'll see if Drew can market the pod here to somebody else this week. Oh. Maybe we'll pass 200.
Hey, I do have a couple people I work with who are in the NASCAR, so you know, gotta Woo! Spread the wealth. So yeah.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
They need to call in. I want someone to call in.
Yeah, we do need someone to call in. It isn't me because apparently I can't do it. We've already established that.
Brent P gave it a shot.
That's right. Yeah.
We are sitting at an all-time plays number of 173 right now. So.
Dang.
That's up 100 listens from, or 70-something listens from last week.
Yeah. And so. I think we may have picked up, you know, with the F1 talk, we've broken into the United Kingdom.
Cool.
Less than 1% of our viewers are coming from the United Kingdom at this, or listeners are coming from the United Kingdom at this point. So
there you go.
That was
true. We're
talking about Hamilton too much, I guess.
So Drew, as you admitted to early on in our phone call or pre-briefing, that you did not watch any of the F1 this week because there's a European football's on. So,
oh yeah,
you have nothing. There's nothing to add. I didn't know what happened. Where are they?
They're in France.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah. So I think the first practice session was today. I'm gonna see. I'll probably try to watch qualifying tomorrow, and hopefully I get to watch the race on Sunday too.
Did you catch the Indy race in Detroit last week?
I saw it was on. No, I didn't catch any of it though, unfortunately.
Flag that at one point. Yeah, your boy caught fire again.
Ryan Hunter, right?
No, your boy, your F1 boy from Stuart Haas.
Oh, Romain Grosjean.
The brakes caught fire. You ran out there and got a fire extinguisher from the Flagstaff workers, and you ran out and put his little brakes out.
Oh my God. He put his fire out.
Oh, that's scary. Have you guys seen the? Are you all caught up on Drive to Survive or no?
No,
I finished it.
All right. Do you know what happened to him in his last season in F1 or no?
I do. No,
I don't know.
Okay, I don't want to spoil it for you then. But yeah, that's interesting.
He hit the wall and had a bad fire.
Okay, so Matt will spoil it for you.
you can watch it play out, but
that's insane. It will probably be quite some time until I have the opportunity to do something like that. That's just the way.
No, it was really. Yeah, he thought he was dead, and you know, I guess he has like young family. He's like thought about them, and you know, he had really bad burns on his hands and stuff. But that was, I mean, considering the wreck and looking at the footage, yeah, he's really lucky to be alive. And I think the halo saved his life, most likely. So
wow,
he was through the guardrail on fire. And couldn't lift himself straight out.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're definitely lucky because that did not look good. Didn't look good on camera. And I just wish some of the safety workers, in my opinion, right, speaking from my past experience with fire department and, you know, and doing that and living it, they played that way too safe for me, man. I would have got right in there with them, but, you know, you can only judge, right? Hindsight's 2020, right? Who knows what's going through their mind, but yeah, it was lucky, man. He's really, really lucky.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Sorry, boys. I don't want to interrupt. My phone's about to die, but hey, I think I have a new favorite NASCAR driver. I was doing a little, you know, Googling and Wikipedia-ing, and I think my new guy is Anthony Alfredo.
Nickname
Fast Pasta. Yeah, I think that's my new guy, so just saying.
I like it.
I think we could get fast pasta on the pod. You know, maybe I'll reach out and see what I can do.
He would. It's that that's that Italian connection, huh?
Yeah, tutto bene. You know, send him send him some nice salami or something. All right, guys. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on. And just hit me up whenever. You know, be honored to be on again. So
apparently invited every week. So right,
we'll see. We'll see you next week.
We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah.
Let's flip her right on over to Nashville. So here's what I know. Okay. Nashville Super Speedway is Middle Tennessee's racing jewel. And that's what I'm hearing. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Year round family destination, one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
That is true.
Nashville's a good time.
That is true.
I can confirm. Yes, fun times. Never so anyway, hosted its first NASCAR event in April 2001 through 2011. 1.33 mile D-shaped oval with 14 degrees of banking. And Xfinity Series has raced there up until tonight. Xfinity has been there 21 times in that 10-year span. And Trucks has been there 13 times. And they've had eight indie races as well.
Oh, wow.
So,
no cup races. Yeah, no cup races.
Correct.
It's the big. It's not the largest concrete oval.
So it's the largest concrete oval in NASCAR. It is owned by Dover Motorsports Incorporated. Which also owns Dover, which also explains why they lost their second race, right? So they put this race at a different track.
It's taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other. So
right. It's good, though, right? I mean, I think Nashville is a great town for a race. I agree with everything that's going on with around that city when it comes to NASCAR.
I agree. Now's the right time for that. And from watching a little bit of the truck race before, 14, it looked steeper than 14 degrees.
It's interesting. The first thing we noticed was the corners are steep and it falls off, particularly out of the back straight, very quickly. These guys, you know, coming out of two, and it's like, and up the track to practice.
I forget what driver they had on, but he had about 90 degrees of wheel in it coming off the corner, and then as soon as he hit the straight, he was back to straight. I'm like, oh, the understeer, it's amazing.
Right, yeah, we were actually listening to Haley Deegan's radio for a little bit, and she's like, it's loose coming in, and it's immediately tight in the middle of the corner, and it's awful coming off. So I don't know if that's the banking, or I'm sure the concrete surface has quite a bit to do with it as well. It's different. I think you get a fair amount of grip out of concrete, but it's a very smooth surface, so it's easier on tires. But it just has a different feel to it. Waterford Hills and Michigan have concrete at the apexes of the corners, and I never liked it. The transition between asphalt and concrete, it just had a different feel to it. The tires would make more noise on the concrete surface. You know,
it's weird.
They repaved it last year at all. But it's definitely a little off.
Cool.
Really wide too.
That's what I've heard. It's very wide. Yeah.
Good for three wide racing. The braking zones are insane. They're watching them late break each other. It was insanity. But the trucks always put on a good show. But and I saw a picture today of young Brad Keselowski holding a trophy there back in the.
Being a new track, there is for Cup, there's going to be a qualifying or a practice session on Saturday, and they are going to qualify Sunday.
Nice.
That's awesome.
The trucks did that today.
They did.
I was surprised to see we turned it on a couple laps in to see John Hunter Nemechek in 20th.
down the totem pole.
I was like, whoa, he's not in top five. This is weird.
Now I remember what I was talking about. So I saw a picture of young Brad Keselowski today.
in his Xfinity days, he's a 22 car. That's what we were talking about. But yeah, so what you were saying, they qualified, and qualifying was funny looking because they were all over. Some were low, some were up in the rubber, but they did Xfinity practice today. So they were kind of searching around to find some speed. But everyone, it seems like they're low in, kind of ride it through mid and then drive it out high. That's kind of the line there. Because it's actually a D-shaped oval, so the front stretch has that hook, right? So you probably get a little more room to run off of four compared to the runoff of two.
Yeah.
So you're not chasing it against the wall like you are with the two. Compared to four, you can let it ride out a little more. So it's a technical term, ride out. So
ride out. Literally.
Quote TI, you know. Oh, gee, how do you pick at this track? I don't have my notepad tonight either, so
maybe
I'll take some notes.
It's a good thing we record, you know?
Well, you know, it's a good thing I pushed this off for 2 days. I should have prepared a little more.
You don't prepare for anything.
I don't think we have to try too hard. We just do it.
go ahead.
Remember, don't want to pick a driver who's not racing, and Cody Ware is not racing. So hold on. Oh. So we've got, it's the Ally 400 this week. So
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Think about from 2001 to 2011, any driver that would have been driving in the Xfinity series or truck series back then that might be driving in Cup today. That'd be a good way to look at it.
Saw Keselowski with a Dodge.
Truex, right?
Brent's on the Tennessean website right now.
Wow, there's a Tennessean website. Can anyone beat Kyle Larson on Sunday? Yeah, you know.
His teammates.
So like
they're running the big holes there.
I think they are running the big horse package at 750.
You want me to lead it off?
Yes.
Sir. Call you, bud.
Sure. All right. Since I have no idea what I'm doing, just like you guys are all alluding to, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going number 22, Victory Lane, baby.
Ooh, baby. Sticking his boy.
Slogano.
As Drew would say, Mr. Slowy Slogano.
Slowy Slogano. which is next level on its own.
Goodness.
And when I serve it, it's not dirt this year. Okay.
What's that?
Dirt this year.
I'm not following. I can't hardly hear you.
Said he's gonna win on a surface that's not dirt for the first time this year.
He's a dirt racer.
We'll see. So, like I said, I'm sticking to my guns though. So, dark horse. I'll just take Tyler Reddick.
There it is. Just throw in there.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Tyler Reddick, and then for Care Center, I go with my boy Corey.
Mr. LaJoy. Mr. LaJoy. Better. He's got a great view.
He'll screw it up.
He'll screw it up.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Adam, who's your next victim?
What? Oh.
Who's going next?
Well, I can only see Brent, so I'll choose Brent.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to be boring and go with statistics and pick my winner as Mr. Truex.
God damn it.
Just because of, you know, they're running a
smash,
you know,
this bottle right now in my hand.
I smash with your hand, you know, a track under a mile and a half with the high horsepower package. For some reason, that's been working for him lately this year.
Heavy, Brent.
You know, so to answer the Rick Ware question, so Cody Ware's not running. J.J. Yaley is running number 51. And I got to be honest, he's probably better off with him in that car.
you think he took the collect call when it came in? You think J.J. Yaley answered the collect call from Rick Ware Racing when he called him?
I'm gonna pay close attention to where he finishes this weekend.
Hi, you have a collect call from Rick Ware Racing. Would you like to accept the charges?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious to see how he finishes this weekend. Since we just got done talking about how, you know.
Are you taking him as your dark horse?
No, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
That's a stretch.
Well, and I'm going to just put this down because I want to make sure that it's known. Anybody on the Hendrick team no longer qualifies for a dark horse pick.
No, I'm curious because we got done talking about how, you know, NASCAR could theoretically take away the number 51's charter next year. I'm curious to see where Mr. Yaley finishes in that 51.
You think they're putting a ringer in there?
He could be. Points? They might not even know it. They could put a ringer in there and they don't even know it. My dark horse. This is going to be kind of weird, maybe. I don't know. We'll throw Bubba Wallace in there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I'm pissing Matt off all night tonight. He's got to start all over again.
I guess,
what's that?
That's actually not a bad pick. And I say that because from a truck racing perspective, I would say in any kind of big boy series for Bubba, his career best is at Dover. And being concrete surface, you know, I don't know. You never know. This could be it. You don't know.
You ran good at Darlington, remember, last year?
Yeah, you just, you know.
He did do well. Yeah.
I just picked him because I feel like he's overdue to actually have a good race here one of these weekends.
Man, let's just be real though.
I'm gonna throw Mr. Logano in the
care. Thank God.
So, it's kind of counter your pick there, Mr. Sands.
Checkers or wreckers?
Yep.
All right. Now that I have to rethink my entire picks here. Oh, I'm gonna take Bowman to win.
Ooh.
Sponsored race.
Are they really rigging it that hard, eh?
I'm going all conspiracy theory, so I'm going all in.
I like it.
I'm gonna take Matty D as my dark horse. Because Bubba would have been a better dark horse, but Brent took him already.
Who's gonna crash?
I'm gonna take Kyle Larson as my care center. He's due for a little bit of trouble. What?
Would you want to call it? Do you want to call the spot? Like, what's gonna happen? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking it's gonna be. I don't want to call it engine failure. I'm going to call, he's going to be hard in the wall off of two. And he's going to flatten the right side of the car. So that's going to be it.
He's got a big sponsor this week.
Who? I didn't see that.
He's got a big ass Valvoline sponsor on the car.
Look at that.
Wow.
The money's in, baby. The money's in.
Well, the sponsor doesn't care if you win a wreck. They still get the TV time, so.
Yeah, right. You know what Mark's nickname is, though, right?
I don't know his nickname. What's his nickname?
Young Money.
Oh, do you know what? I do know that. They do call him Young Money.
Yeah. Call him Young Money.
I didn't remember that. But, yeah, I think good picks now that Brandon's took exactly who I was going to pick. Yeah. And Brandon's very good at picking races, by the way. So.
Which makes no sense, because let's be honest.
Oh,
the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, but don't just assume because Matt and I have watched NASCAR for a period of time that we know what the heck we're doing.
No. True? Which is true. Clear. Be clear.
Very clear.
I'll put my picks in right now so I don't forget.
There you go. Oh, I did that earlier.
Did you?
Yep.
I got to stick to my guns here.
So I would say just next week, remind me to pick Drew's man, Alfredo, for my care center, though, just because he likes to shit on for slow. He looks slow, Gano.
Yeah, you're gonna have to because
I don't know why I didn't pick him this week.
I'll have to get Drew to stay on for that. But anyway, well, boys, I think that's about it. I think that's all I got.
Yeah,
I think we did it. We did good this week. I think this is this is definitely coming a long way. And thank you all listeners for putting up with us. If you can think of anything to tell us or if you want to yell at us, please dial in, give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to answer all questions, comments, or concerns on social media. So,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think we'll enjoy the race, enjoy Tennessee, enjoy the concrete track there. And just, I'm going to actually queue up Kyle Busch's radio. I'm going to listen to that on Sunday because he's not going to be happy because they're not going to bring him anything good. Mm. You know, because no one's got any notes, right? Even with notes.
Except for him in the care center.
Fun. I want to see him ride around, though. He's good for entertainment.
That's true.
You know?
He's very true.
This car's a piece of, you know what? You know, you guys are terrible. I can't believe I drive this car for you. You know, only thing to win this race is my talent. You know, stuff like that. That's what I like to hear. So, well, let's keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Has some good races there in Nashville. Drew says it's not going to rain, so make sure to comment on him if it does rain.
He's going to have a rough week next week.
Let him hear it.
All right. And adios, amigos.
Be good. See y'all. Enjoy the race. You know, man.